Please be seated. I'd like to welcome all of you to the service today. My name is Patrick Wildman. I'm one of the pastors here at Christ Church. And obviously we are here with mixed emotions. We would rather not be here in many ways, obviously. We are here to grieve. We are here to mourn our loss of a great man, the Reverend D.O. Smart. At the same time, we're here to celebrate. We're here to worship. We're here to give thanks because Christ is risen. And I want you to know that it's okay, even when you're sad, to celebrate and to worship. And that is exactly what Dio wants us to do. These are his words. He wrote this down 10 years ago. My wish is for a real celebration of my new resurrected life in Christ. Let this be a joyful event, a jubilant send-off to a new and incredible adventure. That's what Dio wants us to do today. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to worship the Lord and celebrate his goodness to us. To get us started, we're going to start with some remembrances, and his grandson, Grayson, is going to go first.
Welcome. First and foremost, I would like to thank each of you for coming this afternoon. Looking at most of you, it's absolutely incredible to see how many lives Dio has touched through the years, but I can't say I'm that surprised. Many of you have traveled from great distances to be here this evening, and on behalf of our entire family, especially the four cousins, Lindsay, Caitlin, Allison, and myself, we thank you. For those who don't know me, my name is Grayson Clymer, and I am one of Dio's four grandchildren. And I wanted to spend a few minutes on behalf of our family and my cousins to talk about Dio. A few days following Dio's death, my sister Lindsay sent me his obituary. I don't often read obituaries, so I rarely take a step back to reflect. But after reading through Dio's, it struck me that the whole concept of an obituary is kind of odd. Within a few short paragraphs, you sum up the entirety of one's life, a beginning, a middle, and an end, all within the span of just a few minutes. It just feels so abrupt and insubstantial. But is this supposed to be our life's final swan song? Can we truly uncover the markings of greatness within a few bullet points typed out on a half sheet of paper? For Dio, it doesn't take long for one to discover how impressive his resume truly was. He was a husband, a father, a grandfather, an entrepreneur, a sailor, a mentor, a leader of men. His life was littered with accomplishments and accolades. He was a fifth-generation Kansas Cityan, and even as a young man, he seemed destined to achieve great things. From the University of Michigan and MIT, to his acceptance into the United States Naval Officer Candidate School, he did things with resolve and purpose. These qualities did not go unnoticed by his peers, as he would quickly rise within the ranks of the United States Navy and CB's Engineering Corps. Through his 31 years of service, he was held in high regard by his friends and colleagues, and ultimately retired with the distinction of Rear Admiral. Dio charted a meticulous course throughout life, always rowing with determined perseverance. Now, all these accolades stand out on paper to any casual reader. Impressive as they may be, it takes slightly more discerning eye to uncover what truly marked Dio's greatness on this earth. And this, without question, was his unwavering and absolute dedication to the Lord. And perhaps what is more was his ability to draw in those around him even closer to God. It's not clear to me what changed in Dio's life post his naval career, but God undoubtedly caused a sea change in this man's life. He grew up within the church and had always been an active in some capacity, but when he was called into ministry in 1993, his life was transformed. Right here in this church, God transformed Dio to become the true Christian leader he was always intended to be. It's as if God took all of Dio's earthly gifts, his passion, his charisma, his dedication, his enthusiasm, all the things that had driven his success through most of his life, and harnessed that into one singular objective: serving God. This servanthood took many forms through the years, but at the very core, it started with family. Nurturing. Nurturing, loving, and caring for the ones he held most dear. And it spread. Beginning as executive pastor right here in Christ Church, he was ordained as a deacon shortly after 1994. Working with young and new Christians alike, he rededicated his life serving God, taking immense joy in spreading the gospel to anyone who would listen. And I mean anyone. His sphere of influence grew beyond these walls into other churches around the world, and he was ordained as an Anglican priest in 2005. He became an active leader in the Anglican Communion, developing relationship with ministers, bishops, and churches around the world. He dedicated himself to causes like pastoral care and women's ministry at Christ Church Anglican, the Anglican Relief and Development Fund, and his most recent passion in helping found St. Aidan's Anglican Church here in Kansas City. The singular commonality through all those things and years of service was his desire to draw those around him closer to God. And he did that. The other thought-provoking thing about reading someone's obituary is that you can easily compare your life to theirs. How do you stack up? I think my grade would be sub-average at best as I make way through the second paragraph of Dio's life. Have I truly embraced the Lord in my life? And more importantly, have I applied my God-given gifts to help draw in those around me into closer relationship with Him? In truth, I'm not sure that I have, but I'm trying. And if I've learned anything from Dio, at least I know where to begin. Seeking God, sharing God, through family. This is the harder part. I am a proud new father, and my daughter Genevieve was baptized last week in New York City at Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church. It was a very special event, not only because of the baptism itself, but because Dio had died just a couple days before. The juxtaposition was striking and timely. As one of God's servants left this world, another little one entered it. In tender moments like these, you start to ask yourself, how can I raise this child to the best of my ability? How can I show her how to trust God and follow Jesus? This question is not easily answered, but thankfully for me, I had a grandfather that showed me how. like Dio taught his daughters. And his daughter taught me. I will share the glory of God to those I hold most dear. And that's the true mark of a great man. This greatness cannot be fully captured within a few short sentences on a page, but rather gifted by God and experienced by those who believe in him. Not all of us will be called to high rank or priestly ordination in this life as Dio was. But we all have been given gifts from God. I pray that each of us can embrace these gifts and use them for God's will, and like my grandfather, encourage those around you to do the same. Who knows? You may become a Dio to somebody along the way. Amen.
Our next remembrance is from Claire. Claire Hoy, come on up.
My name is Claire Hoy, and Dio was my grandfather. I wrote him this letter before he died because I wanted him to know how much he meant to me. Unfortunately, I did not get to read it to him before he passed away. But my mom and my dad read it to him, and they told me that they know he heard it. My cousins are standing here with me today, and I know I speak for all of us in expressing our love for Dio. My dearest Dio, before Mimi met you, she was lonely, and you brought happiness into her life. And for that, I am forever grateful. But not only are you Mimi's husband, but you are my grandpa. Always have been, always will be. And I don't think I've met anyone so selfless and caring. You accepted my family and all the weirdness that comes with us. I remember the day I was first introduced to you. My mom got so mad at my dad because he was chanting, "Mimi has a boyfriend," with Kirsten and I. We are wearing fairy wings and dresses, and we are dancing around the room. But as soon as you walked in with your infectious smile, I knew you were a keeper. From that day on, you have been my biggest role model. You can make anyone feel good by simply talking to them. Your passion and love for God and Jesus inspires me. You've taught me lessons, given me laughter, and overall made my life better. No time I have with you will ever be enough. And I cannot fathom how someone says goodbye to someone they love dearly. All I know is, Dio, I love you with all my heart. Love always. Claire.
Our final remembrance is from Dio's dear friend, Bishop John Guernsey.
It's my privilege to be here and to speak on behalf of our Archbishop, Archbishop Foley Beach of the Anglican Church in North America, and our former Archbishop, Bob Duncan, and those of us who had the joy of serving alongside Dio as a dean in the Anglican Communion Network. I carry their warmest greetings and affection to you all, and especially to Dio's beloved family. The network as it was known, was the precursor of the Anglican Church in North America. And as dean, Dio lovingly guided and supported dozens of churches from Ohio to Montana. The challenges at times were pretty overwhelming, and our little band of six deans spent countless hours on the phone together every week for 5 years, praying, encouraging each other, offering advice and counsel to one another. Sometimes we laughed until we cried. Other times, we just cried. I count those relationships with Dio and the other deans among the closest friendships I have ever known. Just one example of Dio's ministry as dean. One of the churches that he helped to launch is Christ Church in Butte, Montana. They began as a tiny group meeting in a barn. They are now a thriving congregation with their own church building and a growing ministry in their community. This week, I heard from their rector, Brian Miller, and he said about Dio, he was instrumental in the formation of Christ Church Anglican. It would be fair to say that Dio, in the true spirit of John the Baptist, was the forerunner who helped usher in the presence of Christ Church in this Rocky Mountain region. I'm so grateful for his investment in this church body, which has blessed me so very much over these years. Archbishop Bob Duncan shared this. He said, "The Anglican Church in North America would not have become what it is without Dio's role in our foundation, a role that many never saw, just a few of us who were privileged to serve with him." Indeed, Dio had that gracious willingness to serve God's people without drawing attention to himself, without needing to get the credit. Throughout his ministry, and today as well, he wanted the glory to go to his Lord Jesus Christ. And for that, I give God my heartfelt thanks and praise.
"I am resurrection and I am life, says the Lord. Whoever has faith in me shall have life, even though he die. And everyone who has life and has committed himself to me in faith shall not die forever. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will stand upon the earth. After my awaking, he will raise me up, and in my body I shall see God. I myself shall see, and my eyes behold him, who is my friend and not a stranger. For none of us has life in himself, and none becomes his own master when he dies. For if we have life, we are alive in the Lord, and if we die, we die in the Lord. So then, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's possession. Happy from now on are those who die in the Lord. So it is, says the Spirit, for they rest from their labors." The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. O God, who by the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light, Grant that your servant Dio, being raised with him, may know the strength of his presence and rejoice in his eternal glory, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Most merciful God, whose wisdom is beyond our understanding, deal graciously with Dio's family in their grief. Surround them with your love that they may not be overwhelmed by their loss, but have confidence in your goodness and strength to meet the days to come. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Would you stand up with us as we sing together, "All Creatures of Our God and King"?
My shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures.
He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen. Please be seated.
This is a reading from the letter of James. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Revelation. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Will you stand with us as we continue our worship?
Mm. this peace that you so often talked about in your word. This peace that's from you, not the world. Nobody understands, nobody can offer it but you. Grant it to them today, Lord, in ways that they've never known before. That you'll not merely empower them to make it through the day. You will empower them for continued service in your church into this world.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where we are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Father, let the words of my lips and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Let's be seated. I don't know about you, but when I heard about this 5:30 start time, I started thinking, what is symbolic about this? What is the deeper meaning? Almost sacramental. And then I was at Ted and Sherry Bertram's house, and they said, "Of course, don't you know? This is Dio and Ann's happy hour." And so all I can say is welcome to Dio's happiest hour. He's smiling down upon us, I know it. And as Patrick said, I have it in my notes as well, and it's just worth repeating. Dio, I quote, "Let this be a joyful event, a jubilant send-off to a new and incredible adventure." He's still an entrepreneur and a priest and all of that on his way to Jesus, isn't he? And if you've been in the loop of Father Dio's emails, you will remember that he always had a nice quote at the end of his email. It was always updated and changed. Churchill, all of these great quotes. But the last quote that Father Dio used in his email that I noticed was from a second century church father, Saint Irenaeus of Lyon, which says, "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." How appropriate. Irenaeus is speaking, of course, of the risen Lord Jesus in all of his glory, now fully alive, who now shares his new kind of life, the life of new creation, eternal and, yes, fully alive, with his followers. This is the Jesus kind of life that he leads us in, and for sure, Father Dio was alive in Christ, but now he's fully alive in Christ. An existence which St. Paul describes as absent from the body, present with the Lord. And when Christ returns, St. Paul proclaims that he shall transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Philippians 3, that is. When Christ makes his final advent, the very dust of our lowly body shall be raised to partake, raised to communion in Christ's new creation, a new kind of embodied life, the marriage of heaven and earth, and his kingdom shall have no end. This is why God became a human being, so that we could become like God. Heaven and earth restored in union with God through Jesus Christ. One of Father Dio's greatest joys was loving his family. Father Dio met the first love of his life while at the University of Michigan. In 1952, he and Beverly Marsh were joined in marriage. They had two daughters, Mel and Mindy, who are present here today with their husbands and family. What a joy it is to see this family. And then in 2005, after 54 years of a tender, loving marriage, his beloved Beverly made her exodus home to be with the Lord. But in 2006, Father Dio and Ann Hoy came together in holy matrimony. And these past 9 years have been devoted to passionately serving and loving the Lord Jesus and everyone who came across their paths. Speaking of that path, it was in the spring of 2011. I seemingly stumbled onto his path while leading worship at a Christ Church men's retreat. It was in the spring of 2011. We were providentially assigned to the same discussion group. Never met Father Dio at all. I shared briefly how I sensed a call to plant an Anglican church in the urban core, perhaps in the Westport district. And those crystal blue eyes lit up. It was like bait before a fish. And immediately he offered to help in any way. Little did he know that I had wanted to never go into church planting without a mentoring priest. And so I adopted him immediately. He told me that that was one item on his so-called bucket list, was to help plant a church. And that he did. That he did. And so this is how my relationship began, with a shared mission. All of us know, we've already heard so much about the greatness of this man. Father Dio is a great man with many accomplishments. Any one of the accomplishments that he had made would be extraordinary. His life as a student at the University of Michigan, earning a Bachelor of Science degree in civil engineering, a degree decision that would be applied throughout his naval career. And years later, awarded a Sloan Scholarship and earned a Master of Science degree in industrial management from MIT. His life in the Naval Reserve, spanning over 35 years, where he continued to be promoted and promoted until he retired as a Rear Admiral. For his military accomplishments, he was awarded two meritorious service medals and the Legion of Merit. His life in the business world, working for Procter & Gamble, Faultless Starch Company, and founding and operating his own business, Safety Consultants, and becoming a co-owner in Carpet One Flooring and Interiors. Father Dio has to be one of the greatest men that I've ever met. By all worldly standards, his life and accomplishments are exceptional. Yet, in his life notes, he describes the greatest moment of his life in 1975. When he attended a Christian retreat called Crecio. In a moment of private confession with a priest, Father Dio writes, "Words cannot describe the feeling I had when, after a long discussion and reading of Psalm 51, coupled with some confession, the priest pronounced absolution and forgiveness of my sins. It was as if a huge burden had been lifted from me. I went out into a beautiful starlit sky, lifted my hands to the sky, and surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. That was the first time I'd ever done that. And since then, my life has never been the same. I was not completely transformed in that moment, but it was the beginning of an entirely new way of life for me." Such a divine encounter would eventually lead him into a renewed life purpose, a new vocation, a recall, in a sense. And that happened in 1993 when he became the executive pastor right here at Christ Church. And then in 1994 was ordained to the Sacred Order of Deacons. And I believe present with us this evening, I have heard then-Bishop Peter Beckwith presided over his diaconal ordination. And in 2005, after receiving executive orders from the Archbishop of Uganda, Henry Orambi, he was ordained as an Anglican priest, kicking and screaming all the way into the priesthood because he loved the diaconate so much. Once a deacon for Father Dio, always a deacon, which means servant. It means servant, and that is exactly what he was. He believed the words of Jesus. Jesus says, "If anyone wants to be the greatest," and you know Father Dio wants to be the greatest. That is one of his aims in life. And then he came across the teachings of Jesus. He said, "Well, Father Dio, the way to be the greatest is to become the servant of all." You're kidding me. And so these words and the example of Jesus, he took to heart. Father Dio came to grasp true greatness by becoming the least of all. He answered the call to ordain ministry not as another worldly achievement, no, but as an expression of true servanthood to Christ and his church. I was never privileged to know the astute MIT student, the rear admiral, or the business executive, or the entrepreneur. I was blessed to know only the servant, the least of all, who lived to serve and care for others, full of joy, kindness, and rich humility. He was like a fine wine, an aged wine, or better yet, as Liz, my blessed wife, articulated on Sunday morning, like the water that Jesus turned into wine at the first wedding of Cana in Galilee. The attendant tasted that wine and said this: "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper stuff after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best for last." And those who knew him in these last years of his life would agree, the Lord saved the best for last. He was the greatest because he willingly laid down his life, his so-called retirement, yes, in giving of his time, his energy and money, to be a loving, joyful, faith-filled, nothing is impossible, humble servant of Jesus. And there's not enough hyperbole to go around to really describe it. You can tell I'm excited about Father Dio. Over the last 3 years, Father Dio and Ann have been pioneers of faith on the Santa Fe Trail. True cross-cultural missionaries, they stepped out of the comforts of their retirement, shortening their vacation times and travels to drive to the urban core of Westport to help a group of non-liturgical followers of Jesus become Anglican Christians. Thank you, Ann. Thank you, Ann. We came to value the liturgy, the sacraments, and the whole of the historic church because they were willing to help us. And in the process, they became one of us. Oh, my. Over the last 3 years, I kind of calculated the amount of hours I was able to spend with this man. And something like, if I spent 4 hours every Tuesday and approximately 4 hours every Sunday, and our Tuesday was really fun because that's our so-called staff meeting where we ended up at Port Fonda in different restaurants because he could eat spicy food with me, you see. And we had a blast. We had a blast. Staff meetings have never been so much fun. And I would calculate a total of 1,248 hours of friendship and extraordinary mentoring I received, so much better than my Fuller Seminary education program could ever be. He was also able to transcend all age barriers and pour his life into anyone. I am the last priest I believe he mentored. But the list is it's extensive among those who are here tonight. Father Patrick, 15 years, something like that. And most of the staff here at Christ Church, I heard Nick Kamitsky just in the planning of this event talk about how much Father Dio, a young priest, had impacted his life. Now, if you take that back to some, I guess, 40 years, wow, it's incalculable. It's incalculable. Our two acolytes tonight serving, Sagay and Salam O'Brien, were the last two acolytes that Father Dio trained at St. Aidan's. Generations. St. Paul tells the church in Corinth that he became their father through the gospel. He says, "For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel." Father Dio is a spiritual father to me. And that's why I call him Father Dio. He's my spiritual father. Our gospel reading in John 14 deals with the claims of Christ as the passageway, the exodus from death to life eternal. Christ, in this passage, says some very hard, perplexing words. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." This was a gospel passage that Father Dio picked out. It resonated so much in his life. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And so in Father Dio's extraordinary life, we've contemplated this great reversal, this paradox of greatness revealed in the teachings of Jesus. Yes, no doubt his worldly achievements are impressive and not to be diminished. But when he encountered Jesus, the resurrection and the life, he would never be the same. His life was a continual transformation from glory to glory. His last days at home were spent preaching and, might I say, prophesying to people. On one occasion, I wanted to so talk to him about some business with the church, and it felt so inappropriate. And I decided not to. And as I was leaving, Father Dio, on the couch, starts telling me exactly what I needed to hear, naming names and telling me that this is what needs to happen. "Yes, sir." It was a prophetic moment, and Anne and I were just going like, "Whoa, I just talked to Liz about this 2 days ago, and here he is blurting it out." He's a gospel man, isn't he? He's a gospel man. Father Dio's last set of written instructions for me are as follows. You'll like this. He called it, for this event, desired outcomes. He makes it easy on us. Yes. These are his desired outcomes. I quote, "And I would love for this to be part of the message," he says. "It would be such a joy for me if, in reflecting upon the inevitability of death, those in attendance who had not already done so would acknowledge Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And that those who had already surrendered themselves would be drawn into an even closer relationship with him." More, more, more. That was Dio's motto. His last request is for you in this place simply to follow Jesus. To lay the entirety of your lives down in service to him joyfully. To love and serve him with joyful extravagance. You see, this evening, we all share one thing in common, the inevitability of death. Death is something so deeply denied, yet, in our human story, unavoidable. None of us will take a pass on death. In his death and glorious resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ provides the only way through death into becoming a as St. Irenaeus has said, fully alive. Jesus as Creator, Redeemer, and risen Lord went before us as the firstborn of new creation. He now offers to share his new kind of life in union with him. Come unto me, Jesus says. Will you consider this as I close with the words of a fourth century church father, St. John Chrysostom? The last few paragraphs of his Easter homily, a homily that Father Dio, a few years back, here at one of Christchurch's great vigils of Easter, read. May the Lord give us ears to hear. Let no one fear death, for the Savior's death has set us free. He that was taken by death has annihilated it. He descended into Hades and took death captive. He embittered it when it tasted his flesh. And anticipating this, Isaiah exclaimed, and this was from the reading tonight, Hades was embittered when it encountered thee in the lower regions. It was embittered for it was abolished. It was embittered for it was mocked. It was embittered for it was purged. It was embittered for it was despoiled. It was embittered for it was bound in chains. It took a body and came upon God. It took earth and encountered heaven. It took what it saw, but crumbled beneath what cannot be seen. O death, where is thy sting? O Hades, where is thy victory? Christ is risen, and you are overthrown. Christ is risen, and the demons are fallen. Christ is risen, and the angels rejoice. Christ is risen, and life reigns. Christ is risen, and not one dead remains in a tomb. For Christ, being raised from the dead, has become the first fruits of them that have slept. To him be glory and might unto the ages of ages. Amen. Please stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed.
Let's confess together with the church throughout the centuries and around the world today, in the assurance of eternal life given in our baptism, let us proclaim our faith and say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
I invite you to kneel or sit as we pray. We come to you now, Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life, with our prayers of thanksgiving and of sorrow. We give you thanks and praise, for you are the God who raises the dead to life. And so we are confident that you have raised our brother Dio to eternal life. Just as you promised paradise to the thief who repented, we know that our brother now enjoys the blessings of heaven. By faith, Dio was a member of your church, Christ's body on earth. He shared in your sacraments and had fellowship with your saints. Thank you that he now sits at the great banquet table in your heavenly kingdom. Lord, we are thankful both for Dio's earthly life and for the new life he has in you. Yet we also lift up to you the pain that we feel at his loss. You consoled Martha and Mary in their distress. Draw near to us who mourn for Dio and dry the tears of those who weep. You wept at the grave of Lazarus, your friend. Comfort us in our sorrow. Comfort us in our sorrow at the death of our brother. Let our faith be our consolation and eternal life our hope. Lord Jesus Christ, we commend to you our brother Dio. Grant that his death may recall to us your victory over death and be an occasion for us to renew our trust in your Father's love. Give us, we pray, the faith to follow where you have led the way and where you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit to the ages of ages. Amen. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Also with you.
Please be seated. I'd like to just try to briefly give some instructions for our time of communion, and I will do that both for those of us who are gathered here in the nave and those who are down the hall in Disciple Center. First, there are printed instructions in your bulletin at the bottom of page 9. And so I want to encourage everyone to read through those. And I will now try to just go through some of the basic logistics because we do have a lot of people here in the building today. And so we want this to go as smoothly as we possibly can. And so down in Disciple Center, those of you who are down there, you will go forward toward the altar. And there will be two stations on either side of the altar table there. You will have on each side a bread and then two wine stations, and so it'll just flow very naturally in Disciple Center. And here in the nave, there will be four stations, and the altar rails on both sides will fill up from right to left, right to left. So if you come to the altar rail, you're free to remain standing or kneel, whichever you prefer, but just fill up the rails from right to left, right to left. There will also be standing stations in front of the pews, and so as you come forward, you'll be dismissed by the ushers, and they will guide you. If you go to the standing stations, you'll just go through the bread and the wine and then circle back to your seat. I want to read from Romans chapter 12 as we prepare to come to the table. This holy meal that Dio loved so much, both as a celebrant and as one who was eager to receive. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who rose victorious from the dead and comforts us with the blessed hope of everlasting life. For to your faithful people, O Lord, life is changed, not ended. And when our mortal body lies in death, there is prepared for us a dwelling place eternal in the heavens. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself, and when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Thank you.
death I'm free, I'll sing on, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on.
Oh,
Together, let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you that in your great love, you have fed us with the spiritual food and drink of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, and have given us a foretaste of your heavenly banquet. Grant that this sacrament may be to us a comfort in affliction and a pledge of our inheritance in that kingdom where there is no death, neither sorrow nor crying, but the fullness of joy with all your saints, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Immediately following the service, there will be a private committal service out in the garden, but the family wants everyone to know that they would be delighted to have you stay for the reception. And so I would encourage you, as the family goes out, there will be a hymn playing, Dio's favorite hymn, and just to stay here in the nave until you are given instructions about what to do for the reception. Amanda is going to come up and give instructions while we're out in the garden for the committal service. Give rest, O Christ, to your servant with your saints, where sorrow and pain are no more, neither sighing but life everlasting. You only are immortal, the creator and maker of mankind, and we are mortal, formed of the earth, and to earth shall we return. For so did you ordain when you created me, saying, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. All of us go down to the dust. Yet even at the grave we make our song, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Give rest, O Christ, to your servant with your saints, where sorrow and pain are no more, neither sighing but life everlasting. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant, David Oliver. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive him into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light.
Amen.
Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen.